Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists about baseball books, music, film, pretty much anything you can fit on a bookshelf. And that's the slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. It's a hard-knock life for many of the young men in the Dominican Republic aspiring to become major leaguers. Baseball fans have long known about the economic and social discrepancies between American-born athletes and their Latin American counterparts, especially when it comes to signing bonuses. Look, it's a business, we all know that, but we still hope for fairness when it comes to America's game. After watching Ball Player Pelotera, a documentary about the sometimes questionable practices employed by Major League Baseball in this area, you may have second thoughts. The pressure is immense. A matter of days, even hours, in when a kid signs can mean the difference of millions of dollars in signing money, leading to a lot of room for malfeasance and or mismanagement. That's the basis of this film, which was co-directed by today's guest, John Paley. John Paley, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thanks for having me.
So your film follows the fortune of some young men from the Dominican Republic who are trying to sign with major leagues. And when I say young, I mean usually like 15, 16-year-olds. And they attend baseball academies, and they're trying to catch the eye of the scouts, and all this to provide for their families to get them out of a life of poverty. That's a lot of pressure on these kids. What was the purpose when you set out to do this film?
You know, when we set out to make this film, the Dominican Republic baseball scene was one of these subjects that was extremely well covered and extremely poorly understood at the same time. So, you know, there were countless meetings that I took where people would say, like, yeah, you know, CBS News did a piece on it or ESPN did a piece on it. But what all those pieces were, you know, 2 to 3 minute inspirational poverty meets opportunity through baseball. And that is, you know, we really set out to do something full-scale, like a feature-length film that really dove into the politics and, you know, the story behind that inspirational opportunity story. But we never really expected to find what we did. We still thought we were dealing with, you know, a situation where we would follow a handful of kids and some would make it and some wouldn't, and it would be sad and inspiring and all of those things. But, it wasn't really until months after we had been down there filming that we kind of realized the gravity of the situation there.
Now, when you say the gravity of the situation, what are you referring to?
So the Dominican baseball system, Major League Baseball system in the Dominican Republic, appears at first glance to really be a free market. And on July 2nd of the year you turn 16, you are allowed to sign with any of the 30 teams for any amount of money. That's actually changed a little bit since then, since the film came out. They now restrict the amount of money, but below, it is anything but a free market. You know, a free market where you can sign with anybody should drive prices up, right? You know, teams competing, willing to spend any amount of money for the best player, a lot like we've seen with, you know, Major League Baseball free agents on a smaller scale. But what we saw in the Dominican instead was extreme control of the prices. That while all 30 teams were, you know, theoretically able to compete for players, only a few actually would, were willing to spend that amount of money, and the market is not actually for the 16-year-old players who sign for multi-millions of dollars. That's not the purpose. They are the icing on the cake. They're the ones who make headlines. But the engine that makes the Dominican baseball system flow is that the high prices for the 16-year-olds drive down the prices for everyone else. So down there, you know, in the United States, if you're drafted at 18 out of high school, you're considered risky. You're young because you haven't played in college. Whereas in the Dominican Republic, at 18 years old, you're an old man. If you haven't signed by 18, you will have a really hard time getting a contract with the team. And at best, you can expect to get, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 instead of multi-million dollar signing bonuses. So there is this big... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to emphasize, this is a documentary, so this is not... Nothing is set up. So it's amazing when you have the representative from the Pirates, I believe. And the way he talks to the kids, saying, well, you know, like, if you don't sign with me, this is the best we can do. If you don't sign with me, you're not going to get, you know, anywhere near you want. Is this representative of all the teams down there?
You know, Rene Gallo, the scout with the Pirates, is considered in the business to be one of the best international scouts. You know, what we thought we had caught red-handed as, you know, corruption and collusion, a lot of people see it and they react, well, he's just doing his job. And if his job is to sign the best players for the least amount of money in any way possible, then they're right. He is just doing his job. But there are morals and ethics that, you know, would say otherwise, and the rules that apply to baseball in the United States should apply to baseball everywhere else, and they don't in the Dominican Republic.
Well,
you know, Major League Baseball...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, Major League Baseball, as an organization, has an interest in keeping the prices down across the board for all 30 teams, because the reason Dominicans are so successful, it's not because there's a special passion or there's something in the water or, you know, plantain power, as they said at the World Baseball Classic. It's a numbers game. Teams can sign and train 10 times as many players in the Dominican Republic as they can in the United States for the same amount of money. And one of those players will turn out.
One of the problems that was evident in the film, and you focus on two young men, Giancarlo Bautista and Miguel Angel Sanyo, and one of them has a problem. One of the major problems I imagine there is the proof of age that seems to be a problem. And an investigation took a long, long time for something that would be seemingly fairly simple to establish.
Yeah, well, you know, the age thing in the Dominican is a huge challenge because they lack a lot of the record keeping that we have in the United States. You know, you can have a baby in a hospital and leave the premises without getting a birth certificate, and that is a relatively frequent occurrence. So for years, what's been happening is players, their trainers, even teams will falsify kids' ages because a 16-year-old who plays like an 18-year-old is much more valuable. So let's say you didn't sign until you were 18. You may have a whole nother chance to sign if teams think you're 16, and they will pay you more money. So this actually is a practice that started about 20, 25 years ago, and was started by Major League Baseball scouts who wanted to show that they had found the best player. So they would falsify kids' age and say they were younger than they were. When players and trainers caught on to this method, it's now become a huge problem in the Dominican Republic, and it's very difficult to enforce. But the real issue here is not whether these kids are 16 or 18. The issue is that there is a system that places a reverse value on the two. A player who's 18 should be more valuable than a player who's 16, not the other way around. You know more how skilled they are, their bodies are more developed, you know what to expect. But Major League Baseball has effectively flipped that on its head. So now every player who signs has to pass an extensive investigation into their age, which can often take months, and can be used as a weapon to influence kids' decisions of who they sign with. And, you know, that's really what happened in the case of Miguel Sano, who was one of the top prospects on the island, is he could have signed with any team for as much as $5 million, which would have been a record-breaking bonus. And, you know, you can believe what you will, but Major League Baseball has an interest in keeping the record-breaking bonuses down every year, so that they can sign as many players as possible for as little as possible. And Miguel's investigation took almost 6 months, even though he was the most high-profile player on the island. And, you know, in the end, they didn't even return a result. The results came back indeterminate. They couldn't confirm nor deny how old he was. And there is no evidence against him other than he's a freak athlete. He's a LeBron James-type player who never looked his age. He was always, you know, bigger and stronger than everyone he knew, and he was guilty by association for that.
So
he looked older than 16.
In the meantime, because they I don't want to say drag their heels, because that would infer that they did it deliberately, but in the delay in this investigation, which didn't prove one way or the other, he lost out.
Yeah, he lost millions of dollars because of it. Because even the rumor, even the thought that he might not be 16, was enough to scare away teams who have been burned before and don't want to, you know, make a high-profile signing who turns out to be a big bust.
All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the mechanism for shooting a documentary like this. How long did it take to shoot?
We were in the Dominican Republic for 9 months and continued shooting again for about another 3 months after that. So about a year in total to shoot.
Now, you guys are only human, so I imagine in 9 months you establish a relationship with some of these people. Yet it's almost like, not to be nerdy or anything, but it's almost like the prime directive in Star Trek, where you're prohibited from actually getting involved, as any news journalist would. That must have been a little bit difficult. If you see what's going on, there is one scene where the pirate scout says, you know, come over here, I don't want to talk, you know, while the camera's running. So that must have been difficult for you, because you know what's going on, but yet you really can't step in and influence one way or the other.
Yeah, you know, our job is to be there to tell the story, not to influence the story. However, we became very close with both players, both of their families, and both of their trainers. But we didn't let that get in the way of us telling a objective story. But, you know, it is a challenge. It's always a challenge, especially when you have multinational corporations like Major League Baseball and the Pittsburgh Pirates actively colluding and going out of their way to influence these poor kids who just want the opportunity that they deserve.
Now, speaking of influence, was there any pressure on you, on the filmmakers, as to what kind of story was going to be told?
Well, Major League Baseball didn't have much to do with the film. We repeatedly asked them to comment on the film and gave them opportunities to do so, which they declined. Same with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Most other MLB teams were happy to have us on their facilities, open their doors, let us conduct interviews. It was a kind of team-by-team thing. But we were a completely independent company. We had the luxury of being able to make the film we wanted to make, and we told it like we saw it.
Now, a film like this, how do you gauge the success of a film like this?
Well, that's a hard question. I mean, for us, this was our first film. So our goal was to make a film that told a true story about what we had experienced in the Dominican Republic. The film played in theaters across the country, film festivals in theaters. It's been picked up by a couple television networks, on Netflix, on iTunes. And it was critically reviewed very well. So that is a big success in our eyes. More importantly, it has launched us into a project that we're working on now, where we never really stopped filming with Miguel Sano, one of the characters in the movie, who is now one of the top prospects in all of baseball. And we are working on a sequel to Pelotero, which will follow him over the course of 6 years from the time he is a poor 15-year-old kid in the Dominican Republic until he hopefully walks onto the field for his Major League debut.
That sounds like a massive undertaking.
It is a massive undertaking. It's something we've been doing since 2009 at this point. And it's really a passion project. You do it because you love it. And, you know, we were very clearly inspired to make Pelotero by movies like Hoop Dreams. And we saw an opportunity with Miguel, somebody who we already had a good relationship with, somebody who we knew was on a certain trajectory, to make a film like Hoop Dreams with an athlete who has the potential to be a superstar.
Now you say you're projecting. What if, as is frequently the case, and maybe even the case here, the player sustains some sort of career-threatening injury?
Yeah, last week Miguel was taken out for the season. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. And, you know, our wishes are with him. Our thoughts are with him. He's going to undergo a really difficult process of recovery, which is going to have him, you know, postponing his dream, which he was so close to reaching, for another 9 months to a year at least. And that's really hard on him. It's been really hard on him.
It must be hard on him, hard on his family, and influences the way you go forward?
Certainly. I mean, we are tied to his schedule. You know, we are committed to telling the story in its entirety, if that takes a year, 5 years, which is where we're at now, or 10. And, you know, that means that no matter what happens, we will be there.
That's an admirable projection, because I'm sure this is quite a common story, and people don't realize they see someone rising up in the ranks to stardom. You don't hear about the ones who don't make it too much and what happens to them afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, there are 100,000 kids dropping out of school every year in the Dominican Republic to chase this dream. And Miguel has gotten so close, so close. And what's going to happen moving forward, you know, we can only wish for the best, but nobody knows. So we will be there.
Well, good luck to him, and good luck to you. And, John, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Ron.
And that was the Baseball Bookshelf Podcast with John Paley, co-director of Ballplayer Pelotero. You can find out more about the movie at peloterothemovie.com. I'll spell it out for you. That's P-E-L-O-T-E-R-O, themovie.com. That about wraps it up for this podcast edition of the Baseball Bookshelf. Thanks for listening. Just a technical word. My apologies for all the bird noises you hear in the background. When you're married to a veterinarian, you have all sorts of animals on premises. And in a perfect world, I'd have my own studio for this. But this is not a perfect world, as we all know, so I do not. Anyway, for more information on baseball books and pop culture, including films, music, and whatnot, please visit Ron Kaplan's BaseballBookshelf.com. Thanks, and so long, everybody.
Wishing that fader so grand, he'd have said, boys, I'm